Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well, here we go. The roar at Hampden is about to rise. Scotland chasing a dream that has been sleeping since 1998. Under the floodlights, with the nation behind the players, they have 90 minutes to etch their name in history. We are underway at Hampden. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen listening to that national anthem would have put tears in the eyes of many, hair standing up on the back of the neck. Kenny Miller, 69 caps for Scotland, saying that that is the best he has ever heard the national anthem. That shows just how big this occasion is.
But what an astonishing start to a match of this magnitude. To lose John Souter from the original lineup chosen by Steve Clark literally minutes before the game started and have him replaced by Grant Hanley, left out of the team because of his display against Greece on Saturday night. Is the hand of fate about to work again? Is Grant Hanley going to score the goal that takes us to the World Cup finals?
Yeah, I was just thinking that when I seen, obviously, Souter had came out of warm-up, Hanley came in. Listen, a chance for him to go and put right that performance on Saturday. I think the guy spoke on from Hampden there about he has been very reliable over the last 6 years, especially in big games. He just loves to defend. So a big game sometimes, that just takes the sting off the... When you're thinking about whether you're nervous for a game or not, that just might take the sting off it. You get no time to think. It's just about go out and do your job. So big game for Grant Hanley, big game for all these Scotland players tonight.
You are listening to Super Scoreboard, bringing you coverage of Scotland against Denmark all the way through until 11 o'clock. You can watch on the live stream as well. Just go on YouTube, social media, and type in Super Scoreboard. A minute and a half into the game, Scotland looking for a ball over the top to Andy Robertson. It is just overhit. I have been wanting this game to start all day, and now that it has started, I feel like I can't even watch it, Scott.
Yeah, I'm the same. Really nervous. I just think the start in the game is going to be so key tonight. We spoke about it. Recent games, it hasn't got off to the way you want to. You have to put them under pressure. You have to make it difficult for them. The players who want to create, you have to let them know that they're not going to get it their way tonight. So it looks like we've picked the right team tonight. Now it's time for them to go out and do the job for themselves first and foremost. The chance to get to a World Cup, and obviously all his fans at home are watching or at the stadium with the dream of getting to another World Cup. It's been so long.
You know, you literally go global.
That's it there, though. You see that with Ryan Christie and Nae Jules early on. He comes away with the ball. The small details add to growing confidence early on in the game.
The one appalling thing about Saturday night in Greece was we started so slowly.
Well, Scotland have the ball in the box. Could it be an early chance trying to get the cross in? A few faint claims for handball. I think they were more in the stands than by the players, but Scotland still have it with Ben Gannon-Doak, a couple of step overs.
Overhead kick!
Yes! And Scotland have scored 3 minutes into the game, and Scott McTominay with an overhead kick. It is the perfect start for Steve Clark's men, and what an unbelievable goal to do it as well.
Well, they started so poorly in Greece, and tonight they have started on fire. That is one of the best international goals I have ever seen. And McTominay, the man who won the Serie A title with Napoli last season, he is sensational. It is a goal from the gods.
Incredible. I think it was the young boy at phoned in and said a John McGinn scissor kick. We've just got a Scott McTominay. But just looking at the play beforehand, Scotland just managed to get up on these second balls, and Ben Doak perfect hangs it up. Oh, that is incredible. Just seeing the goal back there. But it's brilliant from Ben Doak as well. He's positive, he's direct, he hangs it up, and Scott McTominay does all the rest. That is an incredible goal. Ronaldo-esque, wasn't it, from years ago?
I was going to say that. Ronaldo, Bale, the overhead kicks that you've seen in Champions League games. Scott McTominay has just got one for himself. 3 minutes into the game, and Scotland have the lead. And it is a goal that if Scotland make it to the World Cup, you will see again and again and again and again. And you've got to say the part that Ben Doak played in it was absolutely brilliant,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it was, as I touched on there. He shows that little bit of quality, comes back in on his weaker foot. The other night, a couple of times, you could maybe have trusted it. He trusts it tonight, hangs it up, McTominay does the rest. But another small part of that is Ryan Christie just pressing the ball. And then because they're aggressive with their press, the distances aren't huge. They're all able to be round about the ball. Denmark then can't get a good clearance on it. Ben Doak, obviously, he'll claim the assist with that wee ball. And McTominay, that is...
We're not going to
be commentating tonight that we have in some other games. It's going to be a bit different tonight because so much is at stake. I think I got a bit excited there so early on.
But oh no, that is absolutely fine. Absolutely fine on a night like this, a goal like that. You will have just been reflecting what people all over the country will have been feeling. But Steve Clarke, when the camera panned to him, he was doing that sort of calm down gesture because it's so early in the game. We know it is early, and the Scotland players need to make sure. What is the mindset then, Scott, when a goal goes in that early? Is it just reset,
just do what you're doing? There's so much football left to be played. I think just keep doing what they're doing, being aggressive, and they have been doing that, defending well. Look, I think he tries to go over there and buy a penalty in the box, but Scotland started that.
Just seen a replay of the Scott McTominay overhead kick again. Kasper Schmeichel had absolutely... no chance, bouncing into the bottom corner. Look at the faces of the Scotland players reacting to that. It's one of those goals that one of my favourite things in football is when a goal is scored and the teammates are the ones putting their hands on their head because they can't believe how good the goal was. That is one of those. As Ben Doak, Gannon Doak now picks the ball up again.
Run him.
Is it going to be a night where he is on real form and terrorising the Denmark players? He's made his way past a couple of players into the box and it's cleared out for a throw-in. But the early signs from Ben Gannon Doak are very, very positive, Hugh.
Well, the golden child and the pass for McTominay to score, superb. If the Danes were shell-shocked by Belarus, then they must feel now as if they've been struck by Tyson Fury. So there are so many psychological permutations possible. Yes, magnificent goal. Top three best Scotland goals I have ever seen. But you have to be careful
if that was to be the goal it took us and what's at stake, that's the best there's been.
But you have to be careful. Here's a chance for the Danes.
A chance. Rasmus Højlund is through. He's one on one, and it is a big, big save from Craig Gordon. The flag has gone up retrospectively. The Scotland players were hoping that it would have gone up a bit earlier, but Craig Gordon just had to make the save.
The psychological permutations are that yes, you're a goal up, and yes, it is from a storybook. You've got to be careful because a draw does Denmark. So don't clock off, but I don't think that we are in that frame of mind. I think Gannon Doak has started in inspirational form, and McTominay, what can you say about his finish? So offside the Danes. Great nevertheless save. Craig Gordon doesn't know that, and it's a terrific save from him. So 7.5 minutes in, all good.
See just in terms of the Ben Doak ball into the box there, he's on his weaker side. He's not necessarily trying to pick someone out. So he's not thinking, I'm dinking this in for McTominay to do an overhead kick. He's just putting it in an area that Denmark have to defend. And it gives, because of the height on it, it gives someone like McTominay a chance to obviously then execute the overhead kick. So that... people think with crossing the ball you always have to pick a guy out. You don't. You can put it in an area and it allows someone to then come up with something special like there, and it then Denmark, they think we have to defend balls, we have to defend crosses, and that's what he's done since the start of the game. He's been very direct in terms of distance. He's a lot better than it was.
What a turn by Ben Gannon Doak, and I think it's Dorgu, the left back, has just managed to usher him out of play. But every single time he gets on the ball, looking to do something positive, trying to make something happen.
Am I correct in saying that Ben Gannon Doak wasn't born when we played in France in 1998?
Correct.
I mean, that's another dimension to the story. Someone who, never mind, hasn't played the World
Cup
final.
And some 2005 was when Ben Gannon Doak was born.
Oh my goodness, 2005.
The next World Cup happened and he wasn't alive. He wasn't born yet for that one.
Well, astonishing. But it all adds to the fairy tale aspect of what's gone on so far. We have started exceptionally well. We look as if we fully understand the magnitude of the occasion, and we are working hard.
Yeah, that was going to be a big thing, was how the players handled the nerves, because the nerves across the country, I think for some people, would have been unbearable. And then you wonder what that is like with the players, with the added pressure on top of that. But to get an early goal is going to be such a big help, and that's going to be an early booking as well for Anderson for Denmark, just pulling back John McGinn as Scotland tried to break
forward.
It looks as if
when they are in possession, they're stepping out with the ball. Denmark were just dropping off around about the halfway line, and then whenever they try and play a straight pass, we're looking to jump. We've nicked it a couple of times and then looked to go on the counter attack.
Am I wishful thinking here, or do they look rattled by it all?
Yeah, there's no question they would have been nervous tonight. I think for a Scotland player, it's a funny thing in football when you're playing in a big game, and listen, I didn't play in any game the size of this magnitude, but it's a fine line between being nervous and being really excited. It's trying to get that balance between them both, where you have to really focus. You have to really focus. And
again,
10 minutes in, we look. The game plan looks, I don't want to jinx it, but at this time, it looks spot on.
Again, I'm not trying to indulge in wishful thinking, but if Scotland get a second goal while we are so much on top like this, they're not coming back.
What one night of the predictions, we need to just give
Come
it a rest
on,
I
listen.
Think this is anyway, I think what we need to do is we need to take it in increments. 10 minutes gone,
yeah.
Scotland have the lead, just get to the next 10 minutes, get to the next 10 minutes, get to the next, get to half time, and then hopefully at that point Scotland still have this lead or a bigger lead, and then we can go from there. But certainly positive signs from Scotland in the early stages. Well, if you're just joining us, Scotland 1-0 up against Denmark, a Scott McTominay overhead kick, a spectacular Scott McTominay overhead kick has Scotland leading 1-0.
I'm mentally running through every Scotland goal I've ever seen to see if I can recall a better one than that. I mean, Dalglish against Spain, magnificent goal, etc, etc. But
McFadden, France,
McFadden, yeah. In Paris, yeah, you would have to say. But, you know, McFadden and McTominay are top three. Someone will tell us later on who the third greatest goal.
Archie Gemmell.
Of course, in Holland. Yeah. Against Holland.
Yep.
I just think for what's at stake and for needing an early goal, that to execute that so early on in such a big game.
So we agreed then.
McTominay,
McFadden, and
Archie Gemmell.
Archie Gemmell.
Hey, still early in this top game. Three. We might add to it. Might. The ball goes out for a throw-in to Scotland, much to the annoyance of the Denmark players. 12 minutes on the clock, and it is Scotland 1, Denmark 0. You are listening to Super Scoreboard. We are bringing you the coverage of Scotland against Denmark all the way through until 11 o'clock. We will open the phone lines again after the match, and you'll be able to have your say on the action. Hopefully,
that's what
it
is
going to be a good reaction out there.
Did you see that there? Just the ball helped in again. Not direct for Lyndon Dykes, but just putting Denmark under pressure, wins the first contact, and then the Scotland players looking to get round about the ball higher up the park. Excellent so far.
Yeah, so Denmark on the ball, and we're now going to have to force them. They might not do it at this stage of the game because it is still early, but if it remains like this, Denmark are going to have to really try and force it, because of course a draw for them is enough, a win for them is enough as well, but only a win is good enough for Scotland as Ben Gannon-Doak tries to put the burners on after putting the ball one side of the defender, but there was another one back there covering, so
born
Denmark back in possession.
Born in 2005, I'm still trying to come to terms with that. So what an astonishing career he's had already. Celtic down to Liverpool, £25 million transfer to Bournemouth. World Cup beckons.
He also just doesn't seem like the type of player that anything phases him, as we'll get back to that, because Denmark have the ball on the edge of the box. They send a shot miles over Craig Gordon's bar. But Ben Gannon-Doak just seems like the type of player that can handle these occasions. He's very assured in himself. And I think you do need that, don't you, as a young player, to have that confidence to back yourself in big moments.
I do think it is slightly easier when you're younger. You tend to think about your own individual performance a lot more. So what does that look like for him early on in the game? Can you get your direct opponent, put him under pressure when you've got the pace that he does to back it up? it certainly does help. And there's been games where he's been excellent for Scotland, and some where you can still see that he's still a young kid who's learning the game. But so far, he's been really effective, and I did feel tonight it was one of the games, if you can get him, he has to be direct. You don't want to see him coming back in the pitch. Take him on at all times, because the opposition fullback, once he sees that pace, he starts to drop off, and then other players can pick up the ball in areas where you can go and hurt them.
Even that decision, you know, to put a hyphen in his name from Ben Doak to Ben Gannon-Doak, you know, he's a teenager, but it shows a maturity. He wanted to recognise his father and his surname as well as his mother and her surname. So a little bit of maturity there. His career is full of endless possibilities.
Well, Scotland, yeah, looking to press really high into the Denmark box, but they've done so far so well, and they've actually done very well, haven't they, to get out of that Scotland press. And they've now got some bodies going forward. Scotland will need to retreat, go back the way, try and stop Denmark from getting a decent ball into the box from the left. They do get a decent ball in from the left, and it flashes across a few bodies in that 6-yard box, and thankfully nobody gets a telling touch on it. The ball comes back into the box, bounces up and gratefully into the arms of Craig Gordon. But Scotland are going to need to endure some moments like that, yeah, in this game.
Yeah, like they actually picked a right time to go aggressive with the press. They were just unfortunately outplayed from Denmark. They were able to play one touch round the corner, found that space in the middle of the park, and then managed to work it wide and flash a ball across Craig Gordon's 6-yard box. But listen, you're going to have to get through.
Yeah, Denmark now have the ball in the box. A strike deflected over the bar, and it's going to be a corner to Denmark. So they are looking a bit sharper now, a bit more like the team that
they can be
at times.
There's going to be periods in the game where you're going to have to suffer. It's just in the moments, collectively, can you defend to the best of your ability? Even you see there, I think it's McKenna that gets a block on it, does enough to stop the shot on Craig Gordon's goal. But they have got quality throughout their side, Denmark. There's no getting away from that. And Scotland, over the past games, we haven't controlled the game for 90 minutes. So it's just within these moments, can we defend well and then look to find a way back into the game to then start causing them problems again?
Well, you hope for rotten corners like that one.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Hugh. Great pass.
Oh, it's a good pass into the box. Can Scotland defend this one? Lyndon Dykes, it is, back in his own box. Of course he was, because it was a corner initially. He stayed back there, and a good block from him, meaning that the cross didn't get into the box and went into the arms of Craig Gordon. Scotland now have their chance to attack, and Ben Doak doesn't get the free kick he felt like he should have done. Wriggled away from a couple of Denmark players, but was bumped to the ground.
I felt he was due a free kick there.
Yeah, it looked a foul.
But anyway, he's got them terrified.
But he will need to do his work going back the way, which he will. And the Scotland players will, just trying to block off the Denmark players as they work the ball around the Scotland half. The cross from Dorgu didn't get any height on it. And Scotland, not in a rush, Ryan Christie, to get that one away. And probably is the right decision from him, just to delay playing the ball forward. And Lyndon Dykes trying to use his physicality up there, just unable to. Was that a free kick given to Denmark, or was it a foul? I think maybe off the ball when the ball was cleared. We'll need to see when the camera pans out. There's actually...
Don't want to see this. Gannon-Doak
down.
Yeah,
potential injury. Ben Gannon-Doak is down. He's holding his leg. I don't know whether that... Was he holding his hamstring? Potentially, he is. And that is bad news for Scotland, because he started the game so well, Ben Gannon-Doak, but he's down holding his right hamstring. And it doesn't look as if he's going to be able to continue in this game. That would be a huge, huge blow, Scott.
It would. Obviously, the start he had to the game, that pace he has around. Well, yeah, I think, look, you're just looking up now, he's
distraught. He knows himself.
Hands across his face.
He's emotionally distraught, so...
I see.
It just when he sort of stretched there to try and block across, and you can tell he looks absolutely devastated. He's got his hands covering his face. Ben Gannon-Doak, a brilliant contribution early in this game to put Scotland 1-0 up against Denmark for Scott McTominay's overhead kick, but there is no way that Ben Gannon-Doak is going to be able to continue in this match, unfortunately. Tries to get to his feet, sits back down, and Kenny McLean is the man that's going to be stripped and ready to come on.
An astonishing state of affairs that not 20 minutes into the game, we're playing with one player, Grant Hanley, who wasn't in the chosen lineup, and we're about to lose another player who was in the original lineup. So not even 20 minutes into the game, and Steve Clarke's planning has been disrupted in a severe way. However, we do have the consolation, the not insignificant consolation, of the opening goal.
Yeah, the positive spin on it is that if Scotland do it, then we'll be doing it overcoming adversity, because it's certainly not been the easiest 20 minutes or so, especially with that before the game, of course, as Hugh said, the news that John Souter was unable to start this game despite being selected in the starting lineup. Grant Hanley in, and it's taken a good bit of time for
Kenny will come in, you obviously slot in centre, Christie push out there.
But you know, it's gone beyond adversity, it's like sabotage. You know, the manager has a plan, and 20 minutes into the game the plan has had to be reversed twice. So
this is a bad one, Hugh.
Yeah. Stretcher.
Yeah, Stretcher out. Stretcher is out for Ben Gannon-Doak, so he will make his way off the pitch. It will, you'd assume, be a standing ovation from the Scotland supporters because of what he has done, not only so far tonight, he got his first Scotland goal just a few days ago in that game against Greece, but you really feel for him, don't you? Because this is the type of game that he, I mean, biggest game of his career, Ben Doak.
As I said, he had terrorised the Danes up until this moment. Every time he touched the ball, they were all over him. But he did create a goal for McTominay. So Kenny McLean, another one who falls into the category of it's now or never. He's been part of many campaigns, but he's also at that stage in his career, late 20s, early 30s, whatever he is. Another one, this is your last chance.
33, I'm sure Kenny is 33. Yeah.
Is that the right move for you at this stage, Scott?
Yeah, I think I'm just waiting to see who. I think it'll be Christie who's went out on that side.
Yeah, who just having that? A look now. Does look as if it is Ryan Christie that is pushed over to that right side, which it is, which means that McLean will be sitting
Kenny's,
in there with McTominay.
Kenny's a good football player. Obviously plays week in, week out in the Championship, has done for a number of years, good passing range and a lot of experience, so it could be a lot worse with guys, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, he does come under a lot of criticism, I think, maybe because he's not the most fashionable of players, Kenny McLean, but he's been so reliable for Steve Clarke, hasn't he, over the years. So Steve Clarke will have absolutely no qualms about chucking him into a game like this.
No, listen, as I say, he plays week in, week out for his club team, Norwich, captain. So he has leadership qualities in a game like this, that there's going to be times we're going to need that. At the same time, we spoke about coming on in midfield and being fit and being warm, coming on to a game of this magnitude.
Denmark are into the box, and it is good defending from Scotland because they got to the byline, tried to play the ball across. Could be a chance at the back post here, and the ball is in, but I think the free kick has been given. Denmark with the ball in the net, but Rasmus Højlund has his hands on his head. I think it was a sort of two-handed push in the back, wasn't it, of the defender, and that allowed the ball to drop to him before he finished it.
But the warning is there.
You see it? Ah, it's a foul.
Push in the back of Aaron Hickey, who was trying to mark him. Then it meant he couldn't challenge for the ball. Rasmus Højlund, a decent finish from him, who's been in all right form for Napoli since moving there from Manchester United. Everybody, he's disappointed.
Everybody leaves their legs up in good form, don't they?
Scott McTominay being one of the prime examples of that, but no VAR interference there. The whistle may well have gone before the ball hit the back of the net. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever way the officials came to the conclusion, the ball is back in play and it remains Scotland 1, Denmark 0, 23 minutes on the clock. But as it stands, I was going to say Scotland might need to weather a bit of a storm, but Andy Robertson does well to win the ball around the halfway line, tries to find Lyndon Dykes further up the pitch, but the ball is intercepted. But thankfully, the ball is back in the feet of a Scotland player, Ryan Christie, into the feet of Lyndon Dykes, and now can Scotland create something? John what McGinn with a curling ball in, just too close to Kasper Schmeichel.
It's a terrific watch, you know, as a spectacle. It's everything that you would want a game of this magnitude to be. It's had all the drama you could wish for, good and bad, positive and negative. So it's a terrific watch. That's no consolation to the 50,000 inside Hampden, and no consolation to you two in your Scotland strips, but great game of football.
It's funny, isn't it? So the whole thought process around this game, we have to win the game. And then you're talking after the first 10 minutes, it's completely flipped. We now have the win, and now Denmark have to get a goal back. So that then lets them play with a little bit more freedom. But I just think that
they're now having to do the job that we thought we were going to have to do for 90 minutes.
Yeah, so it's then the mentality shift so early on in the game can be difficult. But Scotland, listen, when we have had to defend, we've defended well, and I think we always knew that was going to be the case tonight. I just think sometimes we can maybe look after the ball a little bit better.
Is the problem in taking such an early lead, maybe even subconsciously, where the players just start to drop deeper and deeper, and obviously with Denmark having to score now, that they will press higher, that you don't want it to become too early that you're camped in your own half and
you don't
defending?
You don't want to be on the ropes just defending. You still want to have that threat on the break, and we have had that. I just wonder if we can maybe go 5-10 yards higher at times. I know we do worry about that pace in behind, but you seen we were exploited by it on Saturday quite a few times. So naturally you do think, like, sit in, we'll just shift and move side to side, and when they do look to jump on them and nick the ball off them. But there's still a lot of football left to be played. You don't want to be like that for the rest of the game.
Yeah, if you're only just joining us, first of all, what on earth have you been doing? And second of all, you have missed a lot. Scotland 1-0 up, 25 minutes in against Denmark. A Scott McTominay overhead kick, one of the best Scotland goals of all time, unquestionably. But a few different things happening as well. John Souter was meant to start the game. He ended up getting injured in the warm-up. Grant Hanley ended up having to replace him. Ben Gannon-Doak has gone off injured as well. Scotland defending well there initially, but couldn't get the ball out. And Denmark, with Damsgaard, just trying to create something. A sort of heart and mouth moment there when he nicked the ball by Andy Robertson, but thankfully he didn't make the challenge that could have led to any type of foul. The ball played to the back post, and it is booted clear by Andy Robertson.
Wasn't a great ball into John in the first place from Andy Robertson, after defending so well in the 1v1. Stepped in a couple of minutes ago as well and defended well. It's Hoyland.
Yeah, here is Rasmus Hoyland. His shot is blocked and out for a Denmark corner.
What you can see at the moment is they are very much in the ascendancy, and it's a dangerous period in the game. Again, the loss of Ben Gannon-Doak, we're still trying to come to terms with that, but the defending so far solid.
If you're looking at John McGinn and Ryan Christie over the course of career, you're looking at two central players now playing in our wide areas.
Corner whipped in. It came off the head of a Scotland defender. Who was that at the front post? They managed to get their head on it. Thankfully, diverted it away from any Denmark heads, but it goes out for another Denmark corner
Robertson.
On the other side.
Yeah.
It was Andy Robertson. He really didn't know where that was going. He just had to get some sort of contact on it. And Denmark will have the chance to deliver. Once again, left-footed in swinger, and the header was going towards goal, it looked initially, but thankfully bouncing wide from Rasmus Hoyland.
Going to be a long old night for Scott Allen if it keeps going like this. He's sitting here like he needs two paracetamol.
Not just for Scott Allen, people all around the country will be feeling exactly the same.
Yeah, but
you're not all blessed with the amount of World Cups you've seen in Scotland, that Hugh.
Yeah. I think he's sitting on an ejector seat here.
I'm like that when I watch football. I mean, it's very intense.
The one thing about Steve Clarke, I mean, he isn't the most excitable character at all. Is the fact that he is quite calm a lot of the time on the sideline, how much do you think that can help in a situation? Or even
it helps
when
you're 1-0 up and it's a pressurised game. But I think sometimes players always need a jag if it's not going well. So I think you need to have a bit of both. I think at this stage, temperament's obviously very, very important. But ultimately, listen, the manager can only affect the shape of the team. It's up to the players if they want to defend and get close to people and be consistent with it. And as we've spoke about throughout the whole night so far, there's just so much at stake for these players.
Yeah, we'll take mistakes like that from Denmark every day of the week, unable to get across into the box, but the ball comes back to them. Doggo's chance to deliver the header from Rasmus Hoyland over the bar. It is a scare for Scotland just before the half hour mark.
He should have scored.
He stopped giving the ball away in central areas. That is trying to nutmeg. Is that Ryan Christie?
Yeah,
Ryan Christie's trying to nutmeg him. 5 yards from, 10 yards, sorry, from the 18-yard box. Like that's. Yeah,
I'm not sure it would have counted. No. He possibly looked offside. Wasn't the easiest of headers. The ball was delivered slightly behind him. Had to contort his body to try and get the header. But I think that either a flag may have gone up or VAR may have judged him to be offside if that had hit the back of the net.
Will you be happy to hear the halftime whistle?
Full time.
Well, 15 minutes to go, just around that until half time anyway. We will go back to Hampden to get the picture from Gordon Duncan, Gordon DL, and from Kenny Miller about what is happening, what the atmosphere has been like. And if you think the nerves are bad in this studio, Hugh Keevans, just imagine what 50,000 inside Hampden are feeling right now.
Well, you know, it was always going to be a long night because of the strain on the emotions. But it's even worse now because the goal was so fabulous. It took everyone to a high. And then the loss of Ben Gannon-Doak was so dramatic. And since then, Scotland, in an attacking sense, have not been in the game at all. And we are defending. And thankfully, although as Scott has rightly pointed out, we're losing the ball too often. But thankfully, when there is a need to defend, we're defending like men whose lives depend on it.
Yeah, there was just a sliced clearance from Craig Gordon there up into the air, but thankfully Scotland had a good shape at that point. We're just able to force Denmark back rather than allowing them to work the ball forward. And they are now.
It's got to be better though. He's got to clear that an extra 40 yards, to be honest, and allow his team to go up and try and put some pressure and keep Denmark away from the goal. It wasn't a difficult clearance. It was rolled back to him. Craig Gordon's probably I lost count how many times he's done that over his career in terms of a ball back to him. So in a night like this, the distance is important, even on the kicks. Brilliant, John McGinn.
I wonder how Craig Gordon is feeling, because people sort of dance around the topic of, for a lot of players, you know, maybe their last chance. Yeah. For Craig Gordon, I mean, he's 43 now.
In December.
Yeah. There's absolutely no way he has any other chance of getting to a World Cup. He probably at various points in his career thought that there was no chance he was ever going to experience it.
And remember,
this would be an incredible story for a lot of the players, for all of the players, but for Craig Gordon in particular.
Also, when Hearts play the weekend, he won't be playing. You know, he's not even Hearts goalkeeper. But yes, you're right. All over the park, there are individual stories to be told. And the story of the soon-to-be 43-year-old goalkeeper is high among them.
32 minutes almost on the clock at Hampden. I keep on mentioning the time because I keep on wishing that clock to move faster and faster. Unfortunately, it is not. We can't bend the rules of time. But Denmark do play a nice pass through. Will Scotland be able to get that one away with Andy Robertson, who strides forward the pass into Scott McTominay? Heart and mouth moment. Thankfully, Scotland do get the free kick. There have been quite a few of those passes just into the centre of the park, 5 yard passes that just putting a teammate in danger.
Yeah, it's twice, and your most experienced player at the highest level as it's doing it.
Now, here we go.
Here we go.
First real attack.
Yeah, Ryan Christie now with a crossing chance, not quite to the level of what Ben Gannon-Doak managed for that opening goal, but Scotland get the ball back and can restart.
But we're higher, so we're able to sustain the attack in their half. That's the important thing there.
I mean, Scott McTominay's just popped up absolutely everywhere so far in this game, hasn't he?
And he scored an overhead kick. An incredible one at that. It wasn't an overhead kick. It was a real overhead kick, wasn't it?
I know, you see ones that look a bit lucky at times, that they've just swung a leg at it and it comes off a shin or it's a deflect. That was just picture perfect, wasn't it?
That is how you execute that.
I must say, I'm proud of you. You quickly assembled the top three best Scotland goals ever. McTominay, Gemmell, McFadden. We'll see if anyone cares to argue later on, if we're in a positive frame of mind and we can talk about things like that.
I think if Scotland make it to a World Cup, that will be a conversation for another day, Hugh. I think that people will be have a lot else on their minds, and a lot of people will be going straight onto websites to book flights and accommodation for next year, but still plenty of time to go before we can start thinking about that. As Showman fires a shot, a wild shot really, that was never going to trouble Craig Gordon.
One of several wild shots that they've had.
you'd rather they shoot from there for the rest of the game.
Yeah, as long as it's like that.
But
33 minutes.
Has this been the longest 33 minutes of your life, Scott?
The first 10 was okay. First 10 was okay.
See, when you get to my age, you're happy for time to pass slowly.
Yeah, that's a great point. Ah, that's better, that interception there.
Yeah, Denmark now have the ball in the middle of the park. It is just over 10 minutes to go until half time, and they will make their way into the Scotland box, left side of it. The ball is stood up towards the back post, but thankfully it is the first contact from Andy Robertson with the header, who now decides this time to play the ball forward in behind. And Lyndon Dykes is actually going to get onto this. That is brilliant play from Lyndon Dykes. However, the flag goes up. I mean, not known for his pace in behind, Lyndon Dykes, is he? But almost came off on that occasion.
He'd done well to get his body between ball and man.
Did they just switch off there, Scott?
No, I just think they've obviously had most of the territory, so they're high as a team. So if you do turn it over and turn it over quick, you do have that out ball. The only thing is, at the same time, Lyndon Dykes doesn't have blistering pace where you can always play that. Ben Doak's now off, so you don't really have that out ball. And as a team, when you're constantly having to defend, especially being that way for the last 20 minutes, it's not as easy getting up to support.
Denmark now in the Scotland half. Scotland with every man behind the ball. I think we may see this scenario quite a few times before the game is out if the score remains
this,
the same.
Can you imagine this, Andrew, the last 10 minutes and we're 1-0 up?
I don't even want to think about what the nerves. There has only been one attempt on target in the whole game so far, and it is that overhead kick from Scott McTominay that has us ahead. That is just a, I mean, I'd rather obviously be 1-0 up at that point. Oh, John McGinn, it's brilliant play down the left, tries to curl a ball in behind for Ryan Christie, but the defender is in a good position to sweep the ball away.
He wasn't that fast when I was at Hibs.
Has he gained pace over
he's
the years?
He's got even more powerful, and you're exposed to that level week in, week out, ultimately you get better as a player, you can see it. And he'd done that time and time again on Saturday. A genuine like left winger at times.
He's got the personal dietitian now. You're still going to Nando's.
Nando's is chicken. There's nothing wrong with chicken here. It's the sides.
Well, Denmark have the ball in Scotland's half once again. Scotland look as if they're ended up going to form into a back six at times, just
out to the ball
to try and stop. There is going to be another shot from distance. Ooh. Did that take a bit of a deflection? Maybe not. I think it has done. It's going to be a corner to Denmark. It was Højbjerg with the shot, deflected just wide of Craig Gordon's goal, but forced to shoot from range again, Denmark. But I don't think this one...
Lyndon Dykes has got to get out of that there.
Yeah.
For me, he's the closest guy to the ball. He's for you. All he needs to do is take four steps closer, a bit of speed, and he blocks the shot.
Another corner to defend for Scotland. This one goes towards the back post, and Denmark will retrieve it at the other side. Is there going to be a strike, this one?
Another
miles over Craig Gordon's bar once again. So Denmark have had a few decent... they've had quite a few shots, but none of them will be troubling Craig Gordon, especially when they have that sort of loft on them.
Denmark got a rugby team.
Handball's a sport over there, isn't it?
Is
handball?
It?
Yeah. You ever played that? Yeah.
No, but
good game.
Two of my grandchildren are half Danish. They're living under political asylum for the night.
Yeah, I was going to say that. How are the loyalties being split there?
Well, you put them in another room.
Only Scotland positivity allowed. Is that your ruling?
Yeah. I think they've come round to the right way of thinking now.
They certainly will do if the result stays the same.
Or if they want to stay in the will.
I was going to say, is it winner takes all between the two teams, but for their allegiances, are they just going to side with whoever wins to have World Cup glory?
They know that if they want a cheap holiday, you stick with the old guy.
Craig Gordon this time decides not to put his foot through it, just goes short, and then Scotland play it long, lose possession. But Denmark with the ball now back in their own half, and Scotland just happy to sit off them and see.
We've got to keep the ball better.
Yeah, we can't sit off them all night.
No.
Is that if you feel Billy Gilmore was fit for this game? He is the ideal player for this kind of scenario, isn't he?
He's the perfect guy for midfield. Takes the ball, always available. But if you keep turning the ball over, listen, we're only 38 minutes in. Once you get into 70 minutes, you keep turning it over, and they're obviously got tails up trying to get back into the game. They know they only need a goal to obviously secure their place at the World Cup. It then becomes very difficult.
Well, we went on about fate.
Well done.
But to be fair to Steve Clarke and his players, Billy Gilmour is not there. Grant Hanley is there only because John Souter was unable to be there. And then Ben Gannon-Doak forced off less than 20 minutes into the game, and now Kenny McLean. So we're battling the odds here.
And so far, we are beating the odds. And it is 40 minutes, 5 minutes to go until half time, or maybe 5.5 minutes to go, plus any injury time in this first half.
Ben Gannon-Doak was down for a while.
Yeah, there will definitely be some added time to the five that I mentioned. But Scotland doing well to make sure that Denmark haven't actually had a shot on target yet. And there is a chance for Scotland to steal in here, but Kasper Schmeichel gets out there first and is very calm to play the ball over into the left back area. But Denmark really not considering playing this one long, looking to pass around that Scotland press. And the foul was probably the right decision there, but Scotland really shouldn't be letting Denmark get out of those positions.
Nah, they can't get out of that. You had the math. I think you had a man over on them on that side, just a bit too keen to nick the ball instead of putting them under pressure, force them into a poor pass and then jumping on the next one. But listen, I think we're probably looking about another 10 minutes, would you imagine, with the added time.
Yeah, it's not going to be far off it, certainly, because Ben Gannon-Doak was in a real bit of pain with that hamstring injury. He was down for a good while, then a stretcher had to come on, so that'll have accumulated a few minutes of injury time.
Well, the pattern now is well established, and it's not established to our comfort. Danes all over us.
Yeah, once again, down this left side, trying to find a red shirt in the box. A couple of crosses blocked there well by Scotland players, but it's a heavy touch on the edge of the box from Ryan Christie, and Denmark now are able to try and work the ball forward once again. I wonder if some of the heavy touches, some of the passes, you know, 5 yard passes that haven't gone to plan, can that come down to nerves, Scott?
It comes down to not having the ball long enough and constantly running. Fatigue's the biggest, has the biggest influence in terms of these slack passes. It's whether you can do that when you're fatigued, hand lose a bit of confidence and don't see the ball. So you keep turning the ball over and you can't keep it for a period of time, that slackness does come into your play, and I think that's what we're seeing a little bit at this moment.
Yeah, Denmark now floating another cross into the box, the header from Rasmus Højlund, another one that goes way over Craig Gordon's bar, and he'll be happy to see them soaring high over him for as long as this game goes on, Hugh.
And there have been plenty of them soaring over his bar. It's a combination of their finishing is erratic, our defending is heroic so far. I know once it gets out the penalty box, then we're being robbed of the ball far too often, but we are hanging in there. And you know, we're one up, but in a sense we're hanging in there, because even a single goal could be enough to take Denmark to America, Canada and Mexico.
Well, at least we have that goal, and it came after just 3 minutes. Scott McTominay overhead kick, a spectacular one at that, has Scotland 1-0 up, has the supporters inside Hampden all over the country dreaming of what could be next summer. Dreams that have been formulating since 1998.
California dreaming, so to speak.
Yeah, USA, Mexico, Canada. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? But Let's not dream too hard at the moment. Let's just stay calm. I think that's the thing, Hugh. We'll stay calm and we'll hope that the players, first of all, can keep this lead till half time.
Yeah, as I say, it's the psychological permutations. You know, a draw takes Denmark to the World Cup and not us. So we have to live with this.
Denmark, once again, trying to get the ball forward. Scotland managed to usher the ball out for a throw-in, which will go Denmark's way.
Steve Clarke, I would imagine, a frustrated man on the touchline. His plans disrupted even before the game kicked off. Further disrupted with the loss of Ben Gannon-Doak. But he's got that one goal. You know, and they are defending well enough, and that the Danes' finishing is erratic enough, but it can't go on like that all night long.
I'll certainly take defending that is well enough as long as it keeps the scoreline at 1-0.
Yeah,
you and me both, Andrew.
Although,
go on.
Oh, a chance here, and that is going to be a booking because John McGinn nicked in and was heading towards goal, but Christensen just scything him down. He knew that Denmark were going to be in a real bit of trouble there. Yeah,
took Scotland, it, Phil.
Took one for the team.
Yeah, Scotland will have a chance from a free kick to deliver this, see if they can cause some problems, but it was a poor touch from the defender. He knew the mistake he'd made, and then smart play, isn't it?
It's a strange touch, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sort of outside of the... It was almost as if he was trying to turn on it and then didn't turn really, with the ball.
Really strange.
Looked like my touch.
Chance for us though from a set piece. Lyndon Dykes, obviously. First, second contacts. That might fall down to your John McGinn or a McTominay.
Yeah, it's an Andy Robertson delivery towards the back post, and the free kick is given Denmark's way. The referee deciding that there was a foul in there. Didn't see it myself, but I am biased.
You don't see.
A 4 minutes added at Hampden. 4 minutes to go of the first half. Scotland leading Denmark by 1-0 as Denmark play a ball over the top, a searching ball that goes to the feet of Craig Gordon, who then picks it up and does a sort of throw-in style throw over the Denmark striker. Scotland get the ball forward. Lyndon Dykes trying to take it down on his chest. Unable to. And it is going to be a tense 3.5 minutes up until the break. But
I think it's the last 4 minutes of the game that Scott's worried about.
Yeah.
If it's 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, don't even want to think that far ahead at this point. A second goal would be celebrated even more than that Scott McTominay first, even if it is the worst goal of all time. I will happily take maybe Scotland's best goal ever followed by Scotland's worst goal ever.
An own goal, anything.
Anything, absolutely.
Just give you that little anything. Bit more cushion.
But for now, it is 1-0 to Scotland. We have got through one of those 4 added minutes of injury time in the first half. Minimum of 4, of course. But it is Denmark going forward. Patrick Dorgu, the Manchester United left-back, left-wing-back, has seen quite a bit of the ball so far down that left side, but hasn't really been able to put in any dangerous crosses so far. I then wince when I say that because he was back in the ball again and I felt like I knew what was going to happen. Thankfully, he didn't go for the cross, but they will try and create something down the right now. First attempt at the cross is blocked. Scotland might have to be camped in their own box for the rest of this injury time.
Well, to be fair to them, they've been a blue wall so far.
Good.
Yeah, Andy Robertson winning possession, good turn as well, and the pass forward to John McGinn. And he is the man that you just want to be able to hold the ball in that scenario. He does, well, I thought he did brilliantly to win a foul, but the referee says no, tells him to get up. Denmark back in possession. There's really not many better in the world, is there, at shielding players off the ball, is there, Scotland?
No, there's
John
not.
McGinn.
There's not. He is the go-to man for... I know we speak about how good he is with the use of the bum, but it's genuinely a skill that he uses to his benefit. He actually sometimes backs in and gets a wee boost and he's away with the ball. That is the type of player he is. I think as you've seen there too, the Denmark players bounced off him.
Oh, Denmark get to the byline, then cut back inside. It is a crowded box. The shot from the edge of the box is deflected and out for a Denmark corner. That deflection could have gone anywhere because I reckon there were maybe about 19 players in that box. And Craig Gordon's, I think, life would have flashed before his eyes when that ball took a nick off of someone. Thankfully, it went the correct side of the post for Scotland. It is a fifth Denmark corner into the box. Scotland defending well once again and get it clear.
Well, we're seconds away now from the halftime whistle, but one last chance perhaps for Denmark.
Yeah, it is Patrick Dorgu, low cross into the box. It got to the feet of a Denmark player and it is brilliant from Scott McTominay, who strides out of the box and is then fouled, and that will buy Scotland a bit of respite and hopefully will take us up to the half-time whistle.
It's just a bagatelle when the ball goes in like that, bouncing off everybody.
Yeah, anything could have happened there, but thankfully... it was Scott McTominay striding away with the ball and 15 seconds to go of the 4 minutes of injury time when Craig Gordon takes this free kick. Surely that is going to be the half-time whistle, certainly close to it anyway. The referee will allow play on for a short bit of time, goes out for a throw-in. That's, and that is the half-time whistle. Let's go to Hampden with Gordon Duncan, Kenny Miller and Gordon DL.
Half-time, Scotland 1, Denmark 0. And as it stands, Scotland are heading to the World Cup next summer thanks to a moment of sheer brilliance from Scott McTominay. It was one of the best Scotland international goals you'll ever see. We'll find out in the next 45 minutes if it's one of the most famous, because Kenny Miller, the scoreboard looks good, but there is still a long, long way to go based on that first 45 minutes.
No, there definitely is. Again, it's I must say, it's potentially the best goal I've ever seen live. It is absolutely sensational from Scott McTominay. Really positive for Ben Doak on the right hand side. Hung it up there, and the height he got on that and the connection was absolutely perfect. And it was a perfect start for Scotland. But what it's been since then, it's been all Denmark. There's been the occasional foray, more often off a mistake, and John McGinn nicking the ball that we've managed to get up the top end of the pitch. But as Denmark have penned us in round about our box, I must say they've not created too many chances. We've defended our box pretty well and resolutely. But when you're playing that way, you're always liable that something just drops for a forward and they get the goal, like Hoyland did, that was rightfully cancelled out for a push. But Scotland need to find a way to get up the other end of the pitch and relieve a little bit of pressure on that back line.
Like Steve Clark, I'd be delighted to get in half-time 1-0. I know that Kenny's right. Craig Gordon doesn't have to be his best, but they look dangerous. The one thing they're doing, Gordon, is they're using the width of Hampden. The two wide guys are right in the touchline. I'm watching them. They're stretching Scotland. Our pressing isn't good. Kenny's right. We've no out ball. We can't get up the pitch. We're giving the ball away. We're panicking into that ball into Dykes. It's not working for us. It's coming straight back. Our ball carrier, we lost. You know, Gannon Doak at the beginning just looked, and I says to Kenny, oh, he looks on it tonight. And unfortunately, we've not got somebody to replace that. So we'll have to find a way to take the pressure off the back men and get us up the pitch and cause them a little bit more problems.
And this is where football can be cruel, Kenny. Ben Gannon Doak is the only player in the squad with genuine pace. He's the only player that provides width. He's the only dribbler. And he goes off injured after 20 minutes. So it's a very difficult situation this team now finds itself in, because you're stuck with what you've got.
Listen, Ben Gannon Doak is a player that we've not had for a number of years. Genuine pace, direct, dribbling ability, gets supporters on their feet for sure, but puts defenders on their heels and really, really asks them to move their feet and defend properly. Again, he was electric in that opening 15 minutes, and unfortunate for us, he's had to go off. And what we're looking at now is we're effectively looking at four central midfielders across the pitch.
A big half-time team talk for Steve Clark, but let's focus on the positives to end, because Scotland do lead in the rain at Hampden. It's Scotland 1, Denmark 0. Yes, welcome back to Hampden, where it sits Scotland 1, Denmark 0. And if that was all you had to care about, then it's so far so good, and job 50% done. But Ben Gannon Doak's gone off injured. Scotland have struggled really towards the end of that half, and Denmark do look dangerous. Steve Clark's message to the players right now, Kenny Miller will be...
Oh, who knows? They have to find a way to get on the ball. You know, like, you're watching them trying to get the goal kick. They're just kicking everything along to Lyndon Dykes. And yes, Lyndon can win them, but there's not a great support to them. But they've also got decent defenders back there, a good size, who are actually winning their fair share as well. And then as soon as the ball drops, it's onto Højbjerg. They're picking the ball up, and then they just come in the next attack. So they need to try and find a way to get a hold of the ball and relieve a bit of pressure and try and get up into their half a little bit.
Any changes Scotland realistically could make, though, Gordon?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the fact that Dykes up top has worked for us, because I think Kenny's right. I think we're panicking a little bit. We're trying to play the ball up. He's not winning the ball. He's not been involved at all, and we're not getting possession. So he might look for the next 15 minutes, then change things.
Well, a moment of magic in the first half. It's gone Scotland's way. They lead at the interval, and the second half is coming up next.
Scotland 1, Denmark 0, the half-time score at Hampden. I think we can go back to Hampden with Gordon Duncan, Kenny Miller and Gordon DL just before the second half gets underway.
Yes, 45 minutes away from a place at the World Cup next summer. You can feel a nervousness in the stadium, the way that the half progressed and ended, Kenny. But the way it started, my goodness, it's nice to have that cushion. The most stylish cushion you'll ever see.
Yeah, it was again. It's an incredible goal, and it's put us in a position now where it doesn't really matter what's happened in that first half. Now, we have 1-0 lead to defend for 45 minutes to take us to the World Cup. We're going to have to do a lot of defending, so there's no doubt Denmark are going to keep pushing to look for an equaliser. Is there going to be a wee chance maybe on a counter-attack for us to go and maybe get an eight, that two-goal cushion? Who knows? Interesting to see how Steve Clarke approaches the half.
Yeah, I agree with Kenny. Listen, we're 45 minutes plus about extra time away from the World Cup. We'd have taken that quarter kick on. Let's be honest about it. I think we're just a bit nervous because we got off to such a great start with a brilliant, brilliant goal, and we fell out a little bit. The Danes have bossed the game. Hopefully Steve Clarke can speak to the boys, speak one or two things in the dressing room. Second goal is so, so important for us.
How do you fix it, Kenny? Because we said before the game, it's hard to build possession without a Gilmore or a McGregor, never mind without both. It's then hard to carry the ball without Ben Gannon-Doak. So what tweaks can you make within what we've got available here to make this more comfortable than it was?
Listen, there might be need to be a tactical kind of change within it. You know, they see the way the Danes build with their three and their two, and they push them like kind of the fullbacks really go up. They've got the two tens. That's a system that we've played. We played that way for years under Steve Clarke, and that took us to the Euros. So there might have to be a tactical shift in there. Maybe going into a kind of back three, so when the centre backs can step into the tens and stop them getting these balls through the middle of us. But at this moment, we're 1-0 up. We've got a chance. We've got a lead to defend. We need to see it out. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of defending need to be done, and Craig Gordon will need to make big saves.
Here comes Scotland, the same team. Andy Robertson leads them out. Of course, Craig Gordon will be in goal. Aaron Hickey at right back with Grant Hanley and Scott McKenna. Now the central defensive pairing. Scott McTominay, John McGinn, Kenny McLean, who came on, Lewis Ferguson and Ryan Christie packing that midfield. And Lyndon Dykes, the man up top. It's not been pretty, it's not been comfortable, but Scotland lead here at Hampden and are 45 minutes away from the World Cup next summer. The second half is underway next.
If you thought that opening 45 minutes was unbearable, just wait for the next 45 minutes. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is former Hibs and Celtic midfielder Scott Allen and journalist Hugh Keevans, who... before the game, I think we said, you've seen everything. Yeah. But you hadn't seen everything. No. You hadn't seen a Scott McTominay overhead kick to put Scotland ahead in a game where it could send them to the World Cup for the first time in almost 30 years.
Well, I said at halftime, I think that might be the best Scotland goal I've ever seen. And I'm bearing in mind Archie Gemmell against Holland in the World Cup finals, and also James McFadden, the infamous goal against France in Paris. When he came out for the start of the second half, I thought, how much is McTominay currently worth? You know, he's just won Serie A in his first season at Napoli, and now look at him. He must be worth an absolute fortune on the transfer market. But here we go again, Denmark on the front foot.
I think it's fair to say that Scott McTominay maybe hasn't had the best campaign or best spell of games in a Scotland shirt over the last few matches, but he is a man that pops up in the big occasion, Scott.
Yeah, I don't think every time he pulls on a Scotland jersey you get a 90 minute performance, but what he does do, he gives you big moments, and listen, they're worth their weight in gold, day players. He's provided another one tonight for us so far. I'm just looking at that, they're twice within the first minute of the second half. Denmark just peeling into the wee pockets and Scotland players not going with them, and that's why we can't get near the ball.
Yeah, just 1 minute into the second half, Denmark get the ball close to the byline, cut the ball back. Scotland managed to clear it, but Denmark with all the possession in the very, very early stages of the second half. A game probably will follow that pattern, just based on the fact that Scotland have the lead. Denmark need to get a goal if they want to go to the World Cup. Rasmus Højlund trying to get it, and it is a big save from Craig Gordon, down low to his right, tipped it onto the post, I think. Well, and Scotland remain ahead, and it is the pensioner Craig Gordon who makes the big contribution.
Shouldn't get a shot away though.
Yeah,
three Scotland players round about him, shouldn't get the shot away.
To be fair to Kenny Miller, he did say in the second half Craig Gordon will make big saves. That's number one.
The corner comes in from Denmark, goes over the head of every single Denmark attacker, and John McGlynn is able to clear that into Denmark's half. So Scotland get away with that corner. We have had a pizza delivery into the studio. Scott Allen is absolutely delighted, and I think that'll help you get through the nerves for the next 45 minutes.
Is this a first on the scoreboard?
I have a feeling it's maybe been done before. I have a feeling it was maybe on another Scotland night that we've had a pizza delivery in, but it definitely will help with the nerves in this second half, because Scotland are still camped in their own half again, and it will be a struggle to try and get out of those areas. But as I said earlier on, if you want one man to try and get you out of them, it will be John McGinn. He thought he'd drawn a foul. The referee says no, and Denmark will play on.
Can we possibly go on like this for the entirety of the second half and stonewall it to the World Cup final?
We might just have to. It's going to be an attempted cross into the corner box from the right for Denmark, and it's going to be another corner for Denmark. They must be creeping up close to 10 so far in this game.
And we haven't had one yet.
No.
Nope.
But crucially, we do have one goal, and that is the main thing.
So 3 minutes in, 7-0 on corners for Denmark.
Seventh Denmark corner. It's another in-swinger. And Scott McTominay back in his own box doing the defending this time, rising higher than anyone to get that ball away. And Denmark with a real speculative effort from range. Isaksson going for a goal, I think, from a position that you never really should be shooting from in a game of this magnitude.
Tell me this, Scott Allen.
Yes.
Do you get more and more frustrated that if you're in Denmark's position and you have all the possession, you try and you try, but nothing's coming off? Are you losing any self-belief?
No, I think you then become a bit less controlled and more rushed, and you start forcing things, and that's maybe where Scotland can then nick the ball off you and counter-attack. So yeah, there is an element to that, Hugh, no question. But Scotland we just don't have any real periods of possession in the game to kind of take the sting. There you go again. See, that is maybe about the fifth or sixth one, Andrew, isn't it? They've played a 5 yard square pass to someone in an area where there's pressure, which is not needed. But at the same time, because you don't have Ben Doak who can stretch for you, you don't ultimately have that channel to hit. So you maybe be 40 yards further away from your goal, but ultimately the ball's coming back on top of you.
A stoppage in play. Was that?
The Danes took the throw in, and it's a Scottish throw-in.
Ah, okay. I didn't know whether it was a foul throw that had been given, which you don't see often, certainly at this level. But whatever the case, it is a throw-in to Scotland as the clock gets ready to tick over to the 50th minute of the match.
Well, we're okay. We're in here in the warm. Kenny Miller, Gordon Dale, Gordon Duncan, they're having to endure this in the biting cold on the south side of the city, and it's a story of persistent Danish attack, persistent Scottish defence.
What can Steve Clarke do to try and change this, Scott?
I was thinking that myself there, just because the personnel to kind of turn the tide of these sort of games and the way it's going, you would love to have that sort of pace. Whether it's a change of shape, like Kenny said, that might work, where you can get two up. I'm just looking at it, and I don't think tactically you could. Would I stick with this?
Denmark have the ball in the box. It's Hoyland back to goal. Dorgu with the ball across, and Craig Gordon got a vital touch on that as the ball came across from the left, and Scotland.
Ultimately, we're getting to the halfway line and then giving them the ball back. Mm-hmm. So to have to defend like that for the next 40 minutes would be some ask of these players, because ultimately you have to, instead of defending 5 or 6 crosses, you're defending 10, 11, 12.
Because Gordon Duncan touched on it during half time, there's no one even close to being able to offer what Ben Gannon-Doak can offer Scotland.
No, and listen, you can only pick for selection the players available to you. That's unfortunate. It's the same with Billy Gilmour and obviously Callum McGregor retiring early on in his Scotland career, as we've seen. 31 was it, Cal, retired?
Yeah.
Quite early on for a player of that calibre, and he is a huge miss, especially in a game like this where he has that experience and composure. Then not to have Billy Gilmour as well on top of that, it doesn't help. But so far we've defended really well. We scored a great goal. First 10 minutes were brilliant.
but it's going to take some monumental defensive display to get through this at 1-0, I think.
Yeah, the ball keeps coming into the Scotland box, thankfully. So far, Scotland players have managed to defend it well. A Denmark player goes down edge of the box. Very, very close to being inside the box, but no foul is given. That was a real heart and mouth moment. The Denmark players, as the ball goes out, are protesting. They feel that it was a foul. The referee makes the signal just to delay the taking of the throw-in to see if there is going to be any VAR involvement. Andy Robertson can't quite believe it. The ball was knocked by Andy Robertson. And is that a foul for you, Scott?
I can't see.
And if it is a foul, is it in the box?
No.
No, it's not a penalty.
It's not in the box.
On the line is in. Is that not? Is Andy Robertson's foot on the line?
Oh, that's risky.
Yeah, oh, no. There is a potential penalty check at Hampden. It has flashed up on the screen. So the officials that are looking at the pictures on VAR will tell the referee whether he needs to go to the screen or not. Andy Robertson protesting his innocence. He didn't feel it was a foul. There are two things to check, of course. A, was it a foul? B, was it in the box or not?
If he goes to the screen, Scott Allen will be bouncing off every wall in the studio.
Andy Robertson just having a discussion with the referee. I think a very highly rated referee. I think he has done a Champions League final, potentially, I was reading earlier on. So discussion's still ongoing with the two captains, anyway, Pierre Emil Højbjerg and Andy Robertson.
If he gives it, Craig Gordon will save it.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. That would be my wish. But Andy Robertson seems certain that either it wasn't a foul or it wasn't.
Doesn't
in the box.
Doesn't matter what Andy Robertson thinks.
Yeah, he definitely will have that point of view, as will the 50,000 Scotland fans in the stadium, as will the three of us in the studio, and everyone else watching, whether they are at home, packing out pubs across Scotland. And this wait is agonising.
Well, it's a night that's had all manner of drama, and the referee still hasn't given the call yet. What we've got, here he goes now, I think. Yeah,
I think it's the whistle gone to the referee's mouth, or is he just giving himself some space from the players to hear what the VAR?
No.
And
he's
I think
to the screen.
He is going to the screen. And quite often, more often than not, when a referee is sent to the screen, you know what happens next. He is gone to the screen. It's showing the still image of Andy Robertson. Andy Robertson's left foot lands on the line as he challenges. Do you think that's going to be given?
No, I don't think it'll be given.
Well, it's a very quick check from the referee, who makes his way back onto the Hampden Park pitch. He makes the VAR screen signal with his hands, and it is a penalty to Denmark.
I think that's harsh.
I think if you're going to win the ball, you have to win it. You have to win it.
It has been judged to have been a foul and inside the box, and Denmark are going to get the chance 10 minutes after half time to equalise and put themselves in pole position to get to the World Cup. Because remember, Scotland have to win this game. A draw means Denmark are going to the World Cup. A win for Denmark, of course, means they would go to the World Cup as well. It is going to be Rasmus Højlund to take, the former Manchester United striker, now of Napoli, who has been in better form this season for the Italian side than he had been for Manchester United.
Craig Gordon gets Edinburgh Castle to keep if he saves this.
Well, Craig Gordon, what a story it is, working his way back in to the Scotland team. Hasn't played for Hearts all season. Rasmus Højlund steps up, takes, sends Craig Gordon the wrong way, and Denmark are level, and the story and the picture completely changes, because Scotland's hopes of going to the World Cup have been dashed. They've been dented, but they are not over, thankfully.
Well,
and there is still time in this game.
Four people, Kenny, the Dazzler, Scott, myself, took 2-1. In order for the score to be 2-1, Denmark have to score. They've just scored. So I'm not saying that's the end of the big picture.
It's how we're going to create from now on.
Yeah,
we haven't laid a glove on them since the goal. I'm looking at how much dominance they've had. They've now got the goal back. They're in control. Steve Clark's going to have to change something. Maybe take a bit of a risk. But it's still a bit early to do that, right enough, but just the way the game's been going
what
since
the
goal.
What kind of risk would you envisage?
Just get another striker on. That's
there's only one man then.
It's Shankland, yeah. It's got to be.
So now here the complexion of the game will change massively. Now Scotland need to be on the front foot.
Get something,
we will see Scotland try to get forward. Ryan Christie unable to keep the ball in play. The as it stands table flashes up on the screen and it makes for sore reading. Denmark back ahead of Scotland on 12 points. Scotland on 11. Steve Clarke with the short clap trying to G up his players. But we will see the game take a completely different look now, Scott, from what it has done since the third minute of the match.
Yeah, well, I think we went from one shot into their box when we hadn't been the last 35 minutes of the first half. So, listen, the Scotland players know what they got to do. Again, it's that five. See that again, looking for a 5 yard pass into the centre of the pitch when it's not on to play.
Yeah, Andy Robertson giving possession away and goes all the way back to Kasper Schmeichel. Now Denmark can get forward, and this is where it could be dangerous for Scotland because there will be gaps back there as Patrick Dorgu gets his way into the box. Good tracking back though by, was that Lewis Ferguson? And Scotland then lose possession at the centre circle with Scott McTominay.
Well, if you're talking about impetus and momentum, then obviously the Danes have that in spades. So these are the real dangerous moments for Scotland. You can't go 2-1 down.
83 passes completed by Scotland in this game, 404 by Denmark. Shows you the pattern of the game so far. You'd have hoped that after Denmark equalised it would have changed, but it is Denmark on the ball again. And it's a big switch out to the right.
So when you genuinely talk about a football match, you shouldn't have any right to win a football game when you only complete 83 passes. That is the truth.
Yeah.
But fortunately for us, football doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think Isaacson just skipped by Andy Robertson down the right, but was unable to get across into the box. It'll be a goal kick to Scotland as we approach the hour mark. Scotland have half an hour to get a goal to get us back on the road to North America next summer.
You've been there, Scott Allen, Andrew, and I haven't. What's going through the minds of these Scotland players right now?
Can I find a teammate with a pass at this moment in time? They need to keep the ball better because they're in full control. They have been for large spells in this game. Now, if you don't keep the ball, you can't get up the pitch as a team. That is the way the game's panned out. Even when they are looking to go long, you see there Hanley clears one, then goes out for a goal kick to Denmark.
It's a lovely turn by John McGinn, and that is going to be a yellow card for the Danish defender.
Yes!
And it is a second yellow card for the Danish defender. In fact, it is their attacking midfielder, Froholt, who is the one who had already been booked. He's been booked for a second time for pulling back John McGinn. Denmark down to 10, and this could be exactly what Scotland needed.
That's exactly what we needed. Needed them to get a man down.
In fact, it's not. It's Christensen, isn't it? The right back. Is that correct? So, hauled back John McGinn, I think, was actually the exact same thing he got booked for in the first half as well. He took a bad touch. John McGinn got away from him, hauled him back, and surely, well, I mean, he can't have any complaints about that because John McGinn turned him inside out, got by him. Christensen pulled him back. He is now off, and Scotland now have half an hour to get a goal against the 10 men of Denmark.
Unlucky 13, as it were. What number 13 for Denmark off.
John at his best, is it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I don't think he pulls him. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but he's away.
There isn't much. I will absolutely take it. There was not much in that at all, but I don't care. But you can see why he and his teammates felt quite aggrieved at that, because he turned, he was kind of running alongside John McGinn. John McGinn goes down without too much contact, wasn't actually pulled, but the red card has been given. Obviously it's a second yellow, can't go to a VAR check. We'll take it, and it is now a chance for Scotland with this free kick to deliver into the box. It does go goalward, I think there was it
foul? That's happened when you let all our fouls, our set pieces, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Our wide free kicks. We've not made the use of any of them so far.
Quite astonishing as a spectacle. I go back to it. For a game of this magnitude, they sometimes fall flat. This one has had everything. The best goal that I've ever seen for Scotland. Red card.
Shankland.
Penalty. And now enter the King of Hearts.
Enter two Scotland strikers. Lawrence Shankland and Shea Adams are both ready to come on the pitch. So Steve Clark is rolling the dice, and rolling the dice relatively early. But when Denmark have gone down to 10, it's probably the time to do it. Who do you think is going to come off, Scott?
I think it'll be Dykes and Ferguson, maybe.
Dykes and Ferguson. Well, we'll find out in a couple of minutes, or a couple of seconds, I should say, because they are now stripped and ready to come on. And the board is about to go up. Slight look of confusion there from Lawrence Shankland, but I think they have got the number right, and it is going to be Ryan Christie who makes his way off the pitch with Lawrence Shankland coming on.
Now, this is the once cautious Steve Clark throwing caution to the wind now. Let's go. 11 v 10. Two strikers on.
Still haven't seen who the other player that came off is. It is Lyndon Dykes. So Lyndon Dykes and Ryan Christie off. Shea Adams, Lawrence Shankland on. And despite the fact that Steve Clark hasn't consistently picked Lawrence Shankland at all, a lot of people have called for him to be in squads. I do remember that at his press conference when he was unveiling his squad for this camp, he was asked about Lawrence Shankland, and he did say, when you need goals, Lawrence Shankland is your man.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. Could this be the time that Lawrence Shankland gets a big, big goal for Scotland? Or Shea Adams, who faced a bit of criticism, of course, for his performance, missing some chances the other night. What a moment it would be if he, or literally any other Scotland player, could put the ball in the back of the net before that 90 minutes is up.
Well, you always get to those three words, as things stand.
Good.
As things stand, here's a great ball in.
Yeah, ball into the box towards Lawrence Shankland and Scott McTominay. Is that another foul by Shea Adams? It is this time. Scotland putting pressure on Denmark in their own box, but it's not the time to be committing fouls.
Obviously, as things stand, Denmark are going to Mexico, Canada and America.
Oh, it doesn't touch him.
Yeah, it's actually, I was being harsh on Shea Adams there. There's no way a free kick should be given in that scenario. No. I think the Denmark player just threw himself to the ground.
He's bought that one.
65 minutes on the clock. The complexion of the game has changed, of course, because Denmark have equalised from the penalty spot. Rasmus Højlund, that came after an opener from Scotland. Scotland 3 minutes into the game. Scott McTominay, it was, with an unbelievable overhead kick. But Scotland have the man advantage because Denmark a few months ago had a player sent off. What can Steve Clark's men do against the 10 men of Denmark?
Well, it'll be the longest 25 minutes of your life before you get the answer to that question, Andrew. Anything could happen here now. We're just into fantasy territory.
I think it would feel longer if Scotland were ahead. The clock is going to feel like it's going to go uncomfortably quickly if Scotland don't manage to get a goal in the next few minutes. We're going to be wishing time to slow down as a Denmark shot, and they've got quite lucky there because it was just a snapshot, a speculative effort that probably never would have troubled Craig Gordon's goal, but it comes off the foot of a Scotland defender and goes out for another Denmark corner.
Well, I'm afraid we'll just have to live like this from now until the final whistle, because anything could happen here either end of the park, and it's quite simply living on your nerves.
Yeah, the delivery will come in. It has been in swinging corners pretty much it's an out swinging corner this time by Isaacson, headed away once again. Scotland have been good at defending corners so far in this match. They've had to do quite a bit of it as Denmark work the ball across the edge of the box. What do Shea Adams and Lawrence Shankland offer Scotland going forward, Scott?
Well, Lauren Shankland offers you goals, no question about it. Arguably the top striker, and in fact he has been the best striker in the league so far domestically this season. Shea Adams will give you that energy. As much as he was criticised at the weekend for not taking his chances, he's always there and thereabouts.
Hairy moment there as a high cross went into the Scotland box. Neither Scotland defender or Craig Gordon decided to try and retrieve it, but it is now passed to the byline, and Denmark will have the opportunity to try and work it into the ball box from the left.
Well, you can't have it look as if they've got 11 and you've got 10.
And it is looking like that at the moment, unfortunately. Scotland pinned back into their own box, almost every single man behind the ball, apart from Shea Adams and Lauren Shankland, who just came onto the pitch. And Denmark getting the ball down the right. That is good play. And Andy Robertson maybe not having one of his finest matches in a Scotland shirt, you would say.
No, but just looking at that there, that was about 45 seconds he had the ball sustained round our box, obviously playing with 10 men. So listen, Scotland now have the two up front. You've got the one man extra, you have to make use of it. No point having two strikers on the pitch if you're not looking after the ball and getting the ball into areas where you can then go and put crosses in the box and give them something to feed off.
What is the shape here? Is this more kind of back to the 4-4-2 that we saw Scotland play away against Denmark earlier on in the group?
Yeah, sort of, but they're still coming out playing in the pockets a little bit. There's McTominay there picking it up, 4-2, and then allow the guys in front to go and attack.
Yeah, Scott McTominay trying to fire a ball into the feet of Shea Adams, but the pass wasn't really on, and Denmark back in possession, but they give it away now. We need to hope that they start doing good. A bit more of that, and it is a good quick pass by Shea Adams out to the left, ball crossed into the box, and that is a header back the way by the Denmark defender, but Kasper Schmeichel was alert enough to keep it in play, and it won't be a corner to Scotland.
20 minutes to go.
I did say time is moving uncomfortably quickly at Hampden, and it will continue to do so if Scotland aren't able to get themselves back ahead. Lauren Shankland looking for that quick ball over the top towards Shea Adams, but it is gathered by Kasper Schmeichel. We knew there would be drama tonight, Hugh Keevans. Yeah, I don't think we knew it would be quite this level of drama.
No, as I say, it's got everything. The most fabulous goal, red card, penalty, which I still think is on the harsh side. If it can happen, it will happen. Oh, Kieran Tierney coming on now.
Yeah, Kieran Tierney is stripped and ready to come on, getting some final instructions from Steve Clarke. And I think it will wait until after this Aaron Hickey throw-in and what develops after that. What do you think the change is going to be there, Scott?
I'm intrigued to see. Do you think it takes Robertson off?
Potentially.
Well, the captain, would you? Could
it,
you?
It would be a bold... bold move, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. I'm looking around the team.
Unless is there any chance he puts Tierney to left centre back?
Potentially, yeah, because they're up
against 10. Yeah, Scotland losing the ball in midfield, and Denmark now have the chance to break forward. Down the left, a couple of step overs. It's cut back to the edge of the box, and it is a big block by Grant Hanley.
Oof.
And it's a strike from the edge of the box. It's blocked, but it comes back to a Denmark player who goes down at the edge of the box. Thankfully, the referee tells him to get back to his feet.
Get it to the ball. Ball's still alive, though.
The ball is still alive. Kieran Tierney watching this on from the touchline because he's ready to come on. But the game may have changed by the time he comes on. Hopefully not in a negative sense. But Denmark are doing well to keep possession when they get a hold of it.
Well...
That's so naive from the most experienced player on the park. Come on. I don't know if he's bought it or not, though, but
foul given against Andy Robertson out of the touchline, and he just pushes the Denmark player to the ground. And Kieran Tierney is now ready to come on, and it's going to be Aaron Hickey that comes off, and you've got to just expect that is because of Aaron Hickey's fitness issues that he's had over the years. He probably isn't ready to play 90 minutes, and Kieran Tierney will go to right back.
takes that option away though from going down outside and putting balls in the box mm-hmm. with your right foot.
We'll see how the shape lines up. I mean, Anthony Ralston is on the bench. There is a natural right back there. So it remains to be seen whether it is a change of shape, a change of approach, or whether it is just a case of Kieran Tierney has been selected to go to that right back spot ahead of him.
The Nord pass, was it not? All the way back to Schmeichel.
And then Schmeichel plays it all the way forward to Craig Gordon, and it does look as if Kieran Tierney is playing right back. Surprised at that with Anthony Ralston on the bench?
Just in terms of from an attacking sense, because yeah. he's all left-footed, Kieran. So whether you think he's a better player than Anthony Ralston or not, Anthony Ralston can shape that out his feet and shape mm-hmm. the ball up, and you've got two strikers on the pitch.
Well, Kieran Tierney has entered the field of play. Wow. The total attempts has just flashed up on screen there. Scotland with one. That came after 3 minutes. It was a Scott McTominay overhead kick, and it was a goal. Denmark have had 17 attempts in total. Now, many of them have been strikes from the edge of the box. Ball given away by Lewis Ferguson, was it, on the halfway line. And now Denmark can come forward.
Good challenge.
And it is a good challenge to stop them going any further than about 35 yards from the Scotland goal. But it is a lovely turn by Pierre-Emil Højbjerg, former Tottenham midfielder, to take a couple of Scotland players out of the game.
I hate smart Alex.
And I mean, Denmark certainly, as a shot comes in, curls away.
Technically,
and
they look miles ahead of us, technically.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was to that degree. You look at the amount of times we've turned over the ball unnecessarily in a game of this magnitude, and I get there's nerves involved, but there's times we've gave the ball back to them when we shouldn't. We now have the extra player. I would be interested to see the possession stats even since they went down to 10 men, because I'd be surprised if we had the control of that as well.
Yeah, the red card definitely hasn't had the negative effect on Denmark that we hoped it would, Hugh.
Not yet.
Get two left-sided players playing on the right-hand side. Yeah. That's where we're at, do you know? So listen, we have to come up with something. Remain positive, there's still a lot of football left, 15 minutes plus extra time.
Listen, you know, in terms of goal scorers, you've got the two up front. You've got McTominay, who's already scored the goal of the season. So, you know, we could get that second goal.
You get the feeling, the way the game is going, though, that it might just need to be something extra special.
Yeah.
Unlucky.
Yeah.
Or fortunate.
It really doesn't matter, you know.
The fact that Denmark are down to 10... I mean, naturally, the players will have to do a bit more running if Scotland can get in possession and keep the ball
side to side.
You'd hope that would have an impact later on in the game, but then you wonder, you know, there's obviously five substitutes available now, which means that you can make more changes now than you used to be able to.
Here we go.
Yeah, Andy Robertson now with a deep left-footed delivery. We've seen so many of them over the years be on point, but that one floats way over the heads of any Scotland player and out comfortably for a Denmark goal kick.
I think it means so much to Andy Robertson, you know, and yet he's had a very uncomfortable night. Unfortunately, the one who gave away the penalty, maybe the captain, one game away from the World Cup finals, maybe he's just a little bit over anxious tonight.
Does it seem like that to you, Scott? Could the occasion potentially be playing its part?
This guy's played in the Champions League final.
Yeah. Although he did speak yesterday saying that, you know, he didn't have dreams of playing for Liverpool, totally, because he's not a Liverpool fan, but he had dreams of playing for Scotland, at World Cup. He did admit that playing for Scotland, representing them, is a level up from anything else.
I know, I understand that, but I think he is the one player in the squad who, on a night like this, you have to be able to look to him and him be the guy that's composed, and him bring the experience from playing at the level that he has done for most of his career to settle other guys around you. If you're a player on the pitch and you see him in that kind of headspace in terms of performance, that's a guy you want to look to.
Well, long throws are the fashion at the moment, and it's going to be Kieran Tierney to launch this one into the Denmark box. Can we get a flick on at the near post? It's dropped and it bounces up and it goes into the arms of Kasper Schmeichel. You thought for a second that it maybe would fall kindly for one of the Scotland players to wrap that one past the Celtic goalkeeper, but wasn't to be on that occasion.
fell to Lewis Ferguson, but the finish just wasn't there. But come on, at least they're showing signs, Scott.
Yeah. Yep.
There needs to be sustained periods though, because it just hasn't happened since Denmark went down to 10 men. Scotland haven't been able to gain control of this match. And it is a really good looking pass initially from Scott McTominay, trying to go in behind on that left channel, and all Denmark can do is put it out for a corner.